afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for the 138th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Abdi Fattah Ahmed. He's originally from Somalia and came to the United States in 1992 as a 16-year-old after living in a refugee camp in Kenya. He's now a pharmacist, a community organizer, and the father of five children ages 10 to 9 months. Abdi Fattah lives with his family in Lewiston. Thank you so much for coming down to the studio today, Abdi Fattah.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
It's fun. And it's a beautiful one.
Absolutely. It's beautiful out there.
So can you start by taking us back in time to your childhood home in Somalia? What kinds of memories do you hold from that time of your life?
Yeah, thank you for giving me that opportunity. Yes, back in days in Mogadishu, Somalia, I grew up on, actually was born in Mogadishu, Somalia, which is the capital of Somalia. It was beautiful back in days when I remember my childhood in Mogadishu.
You have very blue water, don't you?
Yes.
And white sand.
Yeah, Beautiful, actually. We have one of the best beautiful beaches and food and, you know, you can get anything you want. It was, life was good. But everything changed when the Civil War happened.
Yes. How old were you when that broke out?
I'm 14 years old.
So were you in the refugee camp for a couple years?
Yeah, probably a year. Yeah, a year and a couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you tell people about that time in your life when you're at the refugee camp? What did your days look like there?
It was tough experience being in a refugee camp. You know, not being in your country, not know what's gonna happen to you, and a lot of anxiety. A lot of our family members has been displaced. So I was going with my aunt, and my mom and dad. Everybody else was displaced different place in the country.
Yes, this is really common, and yeah. It wasn't a time when we could just connect up.
Exactly. So it was kind of a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression.
Yeah. And scary. I would think just being around people you don't know.
That's absolutely.
You know, you don't know what kind of community you're
it's
living
true.
In.
It's true. It's actually a new country, you know, new culture, and you don't know, you know, it was pretty little chaos, and that was the beginning of refugees. So the Kenyan government did not know how to handle, what to do with us. So, you know, it was kind of, we were the first wave.
Yes, It wasn't all built. It's not
true.
The big city it is today.
Yeah. And we were in Mombasa, actually. I mean, Mombasa was where we came by boat, so it was pretty new to the Kenyan government, too.
And how long was it before you found out where your rest of your family was?
Another year and a half.
Wow. That's a long time to go not knowing about family.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Did you get to have any schooling while you were in the camp?
No schooling.
Soccer?
Yes, absolutely. We got a lot of time. Soccer, you know, definitely. And hanging out with other youth, but not really, no schooling, not much.
Yeah. Seems like you made up for that later, which we'll get to. So how old were you when you moved to the refugee camp? You were 14?
14 years
in
old.
In Kenya?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when did your family move to Maine? You were... Well, tell us what happened after that. So you left the camp.
Yes. Back April 1992, I was lucky to came with my aunt to Boston, Massachusetts. I was one of the first refugee wave that came. It was very excited. I had my uncle who came to America back 80s. So he welcomed us, and we had a very good experience in Boston. And my family joined us back September 1995. So we got reunited after, you know, few years. They spent a lot of time in Kenya refugee camp, too.
Yeah. What can you tell me about that reunion after being apart for so long and not even knowing if the others were alive? And then here you are in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
It was very interesting experience. And I think it was very helpful, joyful experience to get to see my mom and dad and my other siblings finally make it to America and safely and, you know, spend more time in refugee camp than I did.
Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
I have, we all together, six, three boys and three girls. I'm oldest of six kids.
And are you all here in the United States now?
Yeah, everybody in Boston. Everybody went to school, graduate school in Boston, doing pretty well and contributing to the society.
So you had only been here for 2 years at school and high school in Cambridge.
Yes.
Before you went off to college, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. How do you not even have education for a couple of years and then kind of catch up, learn English? Did you know any English when you came?
Yeah, I took some class back in Mogadishu. I used to go to private school, afternoon to, school system. Somali was in Somali system.
Yeah.
And they taught us in Somali in the schools. So, in the afternoon, I was lucky to go out of, my parents could afford me only myself to go after school program to learn English and other languages.
That had to come in handy.
Right, absolutely.
I bet everybody wishes they had some English by the time they came.
Absolutely.
So, off you went to college. Where did you end up going to school?
I had a very, believe it or not, I have a very good support family and friends and teachers in school system in Cambridge. We have one of the best schools, Harvard University, MITs. So they were able actually immediately when I came in to connect me with the right people. They already had refugees in Boston a long time. So the school system already integrated well with how to handle me, even though I was one of the first few Somalis who came. But there were other Ethiopians, Eritreans that were there in Cambridge school system already. So I got a lot of help from school system, Cambridge, a lot of good teachers, a lot of good advisors to connect me with after school. I spent a lot of time doing after schooling, trying to catch up, doing after kids go home, I stay in school for a few hours to get help with my homework and to get speeded up. So I was able to do well.
When you were a boy, what did you think you would be when you grew up before the Civil War broke out?
It was interesting. In Somalia, actually, in Mogadishu, I always wanted to be engineer when I was a little guy. I was always wanted to be engineer, civil engineer. And, but you never know in life in Africa, things could change.
So sure.
Everything changed.
And they did change.
Yes, that's true.
Refugee camp in the United States, English speaking, off to college, and then you ended up getting a PhD in pharmacy.
Yes, I got my doctor of pharmacy. I was one of the first Somali refugee that came to America to get doctor degree in Boston. It was pretty 6 years program that was accelerated and a very tough, around the clock, those 6 years.
No summer breaks.
No summer breaks, and the kids that I was competing with was pretty much kids who came from one of the best schools in all of the country, California, New York, who really, I was not, one of the challenges that I have in college was that some of those kids was, I want to play soccer, basketball in college, but I could not because I have to study. I have to work after school to also support my family in Boston. So I could not, and my soccer coach in college said, I told him, he knew I was skinny guy, could run, could do good playing. But he said, you cannot come practice every day. You cannot put the uniform on and play this for school. And I told him, I have to work after school. And my parents are very poor. And he said, I'm sorry, but that's my schedule.
That was a tough choice to have to make.
Absolutely.
You were looking ahead to the future.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Probably soccer couldn't have supported you like being a pharmacist.
Absolutely. But, as a teenager, as a young guy, you could tell, you need to do extracurriculum. You need to play basketball. But the fun time was that, I have to make choices that, should I have to go? But the other kids, like same age, were able to, go have a good time, go to the gym, go play, where I have to start long hours because English was not my first language. Or I have to work after school, and pretty much I've done a lot of different jobs while I was in college. I drove a cab in Boston, limousine, best boy, waitress.
You covered all the bases.
Absolutely.
You've had the real immigrant's experience.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Your timing was great, though. I think when I hear from people that they came to the United States while they were in high school, that means they didn't just finish a degree that's not recognized here.
Right.
You're still at a good ramp up and off you go.
Absolutely.
Your parents must be so proud of you.
Yeah, they are. And the good thing was that everybody else, all my other siblings, have to go to school in Boston because you know I had to be a good example for others. And you know, in Boston, as you know, if you want to have a good job, you got to go to school.
And so, have they followed suit?
They did. Everybody graduate college in 4-year college, and some of them have a bachelor degree. My younger brother, he was runner English high school, set up the national record, and also went to actually represent the United States in Olympics.
Really, your brother was in the Olympics?
Yeah, actually, he was cut off at first. He would, you know, exit first round, but he made it all the way. He set up actually the best record in Massachusetts statewide, and won national champion high school in English high school, Boston.
Well, aren't you just living the American dream?
Thank you, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. And what year did you become a citizen?
5 years from 95, 2002. So it was 1997.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well. We're lucky to have you.
Absolutely.
What influenced your idea to pursue pharmacy when you had thought originally civil engineering?
That's an interesting question. I had a lot of good advisors. I used to go to Harvard University in the afternoon and talk to a lot of tutoring after work, after school, a lot of help, a lot of good people actually to helping me out with my English skills. Writing skills, math skills. I was very good at math, but math only could not take. You have to be also, you know, to be a health science proficient, you have to do well in other courses. So, you know, I asked them a lot of questions. Like, I want to be a doctor too. So they're like, you know, it's a very tough health proficient in Boston. It's a very, you got to work hard. And the schools are very competitive to get in Massachusetts because they have one of the best schools in I will say in the United States, in the world. So they said you gotta work hard. It's not an easy task if you want to get into health.
Lucky you weren't afraid of work.
Yes, absolutely.
You knew how to work hard already.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I did have a good support. You know, I did not do it alone. I had others who was there with me, who was willing to show me and to guide me to the right way.
That's great.
Yeah.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Abdi Fattah Ahmed. He has a doctorate in pharmacy and works in Lewiston, where he lives with his family and participates fully in civic life. So let's talk about Lewiston a little bit, Abdi Fattah.
Sure.
What's going on up there of note these days?
It's a lot. Lewiston's an exciting city. We love Lewiston. And there's a lot of changes that's happened in Lewiston. This is pretty much, you know, good spring. We're having a lot of really, you know, there's a lot of new mainers there. They have opened a lot of business. You know, a lot of new mainers also graduate universities, coming back to the workforce, and contributing, actually more integrated, buying housing, you know, paying tax. So there's a lot of exciting things going on.
Yes, that city has come to life, hasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
The schools have grown. Certainly Lisbon Street is
exciting place.
A modern American scene.
True, indeed.
Yeah. What kinds of things do you do in Lewiston where you are shopping or attending something hosted by New Mainers?
We are very organized in New Mainers in terms of business, in terms of politically, in terms of outreach. So we're very connected into, and we're very well integrated into the system in New Mainers. We are home owners, business owners. You know, you name it. You know, definitely we're hoping that we got recruited a Lewiston School Police Department, trying to get some young people to join a police force. Hopefully they're working toward that. And we have a very good police system too.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite Somali restaurant you could recommend to people who might want to go on a field trip to Lewiston?
Absolutely. We have really a lot of coffee shops. And, you know, and also we have a store called Benadir Restaurant. They sell a lot of, they're from Mogadishu. They sell a lot of really good stuff, a lot of, you know, snacks, a lot of good food, though, pretty much. And they also have another store called Mogadishu Store. They do have a restaurant. So there's another also. There are a few stores, actually, a few favorites. So,
what's your favorite Somali food that you can get in Lewiston?
You could definitely, I would say meat goat.
Good
meat,
yes.
And also camel meat. It's a good thing. And also rice. And, you know, this is really a lot of delicious food. And sambusa, too.
Sambusa. Yeah. They're very popular.
Absolutely.
I think every culture seems to have their samosa or sambusa or whatever you want to call the triangle pastries filled with yummy food.
Absolutely.
So, you moved to Maine in 2006.
No, it was 2003. December 2003.
You were heavily recruited.
Absolutely.
Because we needed more pharmacists. It was before our pharmacy school opened up, and they were desperate, right?
That's correct.
And so up you came to Maine, leaving your family down there in Boston. Mm-hmm. Since you've been here in 2003, what kinds of changes have you seen happen in Lewiston?
You know, when I came here 2003, the end of 2003, I mean, I lived in Portland for 2 years, which I love Portland really pretty much. I think it's one of the best cities in America to live. Because you got everything. You got the ocean, you got Allport, you got restaurant, you got diversity. Pretty much, you know, it's like a little fishing of Boston. But moving to Boston urban area, you know, back then, you know, things was different than today. You know, it was smaller population, New Mainers. People, population grew, and we got more, you know, talented kids. I mean, you know, youth that graduate, working. So, you know, there's a lot of change in terms of business, in terms of, you know, the school system itself. They grew. You know, there are more kids in the school department. And I think they're doing pretty good.
Elected officials, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are very engaged in terms of the civil, you know, society. You know, we actually vote. We got a lot of voters in Lewiston Auburn who are engaged. And, you know, we got a lot of good elected officials in Lewiston Auburn.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you have any city councilors or school board members?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that are Somali.
Not yet.
Not presently.
Not yet. But you know, it'll come.
Yes. So just a couple elections away. It takes a while, right, to get established and bubble up. I hear you saying the police force, and it takes a while for people to become teachers.
Sure.
Then it's so important.
Absolutely, that's correct.
So, what role does poverty play in Maine, in your opinion? As we were talking earlier, you seem to have some thoughts about that, and I'd love to hear what you think.
In Lewiston, poverty is huge. The locals that live in Lewiston, there's a generation poverty there too, in terms of healthcare, jobs, business ownership. So there's got to be created a lot of good jobs in that area. You know, so a lot of people are struggling.
And not just the immigrants.
Not just immigrants, locals. Because I actually, what I do for a living, I deal with everybody. So I do talk to a lot of locals, a lot of good people. But definitely a generation for poverty. And, you know, a lot of them give up.
Yes, and poverty, we know, creates itself ill health.
True.
The social determinant of health.
True.
We need justice, don't we?
We do. Everywhere.
We get sick when we don't have it.
That's correct.
So what would you like to see more of in Lewiston and in Maine over the next 5 years or so?
I think it will be, I would love to see new jobs, more jobs created, good jobs that pays good insurance, good pay rate. So we could have a lot of our young generation to stay in Maine and pay tax, not to move out, because we are losing a lot of good young people, graduates, going out of state because of they're getting better offer out of state. So, you know, and that should stop.
Is that happening in the immigrant community as much as the, you know, other?
True. It's happening a lot of in New Mainers too. A lot of graduates, you know, a lot of kids who went to high school, middle school in Lewiston, who, you know, some of them went Bates College. We got a lot of, you know, we got some kids who are graduating Auburn now who is going to Tufts Medical School, going Bates College. So we got a lot of kids really going to good schools. But those kids, when they graduate, tend to go out of state. And we get to pay attention and, you know, to our elected officials and create more jobs and put a politics on the side and try to make sure we help our state.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas about what jobs might come to Lewiston that would be a good fit?
I mean, transportation is another also issue in Lewiston Auburn. We'd love to see to have an Amtrak going to...
Transportation
is a major issue in Lewiston Auburn. But good jobs, actually. I mean, good jobs could be manufacturing jobs. It could be, assembled jobs. It could be, you know, healthcare jobs. It could be, manufacturing. It could be a lot of different jobs.
Yeah, you have a good workforce up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, how about your professional goals? Are you happy being a pharmacist? And what do you see as best case scenario as your career continues to mature?
You know, I love my profession as a pharmacist because I get to interact a lot of people every day, and I love to help people. I love to have people coming to me saying that I'm not feeling well. You know, unfortunately, you don't want to see people not feeling, but to help them out, to, you know, make sure that, you know, we recommend the right medications, also talk to them, you know, side effects, and also try to help them out to make sure that some of them don't have insurance, make sure that actually we help them out to get access to healthcare, to do referrals to the providers.
Now, I did not know that that's part of your job as a pharmacist, to help people hook up with some insurance.
We do, actually, especially with a lot of elders. We do Medicare Part D, which is a very complicated. It's a federal, mandated or run by program. So it is complicated. A lot of, you know, you got to fill a lot of forms. It's a little tricky. So you got to have to, you know, really know, you know, the little different, you know, it's a little tricky. So we seniors come in to the pharmacy with the pharmacist, and we help them out to match the best option.
Wow. So how do you think that your time in the refugee camp and all those stressful years might have affected you today? Do you look back on that and see where your life changed?
Actually, that's absolutely it. Back 2012, I was lucky to go back to refugee camp with the medical supplies, equipment, to go help in that population at the refugee camps or, you know, northeast Kenya, and to give it back and said, hey, I was able to make it to American Dream, but what about those who don't make it, still sit in the refugee camp after 26 years? So I was able to go back and stay a year for unpaid to volunteer, to advocate in Nairobi, to talk to our U.S., embassy in Nairobi, to make sure that actually those folks in the refugee camp get alive and make sure that actually, you know, we do something for them.
That had to be so satisfying, both for you to look into the eyes of children and realize they may not be stuck here, and for them to see you and realize, I can still get out.
Absolutely. I think it was like some of those kids born there. Some of those kids' generations, that refugee generation, they were born in the refugee camp. They're born in Kenya, but they don't consider
Kenyan
themselves.
Citizens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're not on any map, but it's a city the size of New Orleans.
Yeah, almost 300,000 people. I mean, they said that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're not forgotten,
absolutely.
But they are really in a tough spot.
Yeah, we did not forget them, actually. We need the absolute.
Abdi Fattah, you are a passionate and hardworking person. I love your energy and the way you advocate for the poorest citizens of our state and encourage everyone to participate. You're a powerful force for good. And thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM in Blue Hill and Bangor, Maine. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Abdi Fattah Ahmed. Abdi Fattah, would you be so kind as to introduce the song you've selected to close today's program?
Yes, actually, I'm not a great song listener because I'm pretty busy, but I'll definitely, since you asked me that, I took the opportunity to recommend the Somali National Anthem because, that actually will remind me way back when I was a little guy back in Somalia and how those happy days. So I think it's called Somalia Tosa. It's a Somali national anthem. So
Thank
it's
you.
Pretty good. So welcome. Please listen.